Good morning, honorable members. Morning, honorable members. Is everybody?
Morning.
Hey.
Morning,
good morning, Jane. Others were having breakfast. Unfortunately, I couldn't. I saw somebody drinking his coffee.
It was cappuccino.
Sure. No, good morning, honorable members. The weather in Cape Town is not good, eh?
Yeah, it's very terrible.
The weather in Cape Town is not good at all. The weather is not good at all. And I hope my network is not going to give me a problem. But I have to quickly use another gadget if I have. Honorable members, now we're going to start. We'll allow Mr. Sakaza to take us through the roll call. Mr. Sakaza.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Chair, so far we have the following members from the Portfolio Committee on Labor. Chair, Honorable Sutra, Honorable Gabani, Honorable Zuma, Honorable Jabi. We also have Honorable Bagram, Honorable Inana, Honorable Kado, Honorable Nkondo, Honorable Jenner, and also have Honorable Hendricks from the Alternative Party. Thank you, Chair. And then on for the staff, we've got myself, Committee Secretary, we've got Mr. Ngobo, the Content Advisor. We've got Tebogo Mokoena, the researcher. We've got Koshi Andabeni, the community assistant. We also have from the legal services, Ms. UN Isaac, who is a legal advisor dealing with the employment equity. I was expecting also Mr. Natin Jengane, who is dealing with the COIDA, maybe he's still trying to join in. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
People that are not members of the Portfolio Committee, but they are too. If we have a normal sitting, they will introduce themselves. I can see here. I'm not going to call them. They are going to tell us who they are. Please.
Good morning, Chair. Elisa Duku from PNG.
And who else?
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning, Ms. Kondo.
Can I please introduce Bumani?
No. He must introduce himself. Okay. If we're in a normal normal sitting, he was going to introduce himself. Let him do that.
Alright.
Sorry for that.
Good morning, ma'am. My name is Bumani. I'm the EFF senior researcher in Parliament.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Virgil Cecil from the Department of Employment and Labour. We are observing at this meeting.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Temengosi Mkhalipi from the Department of Labour, Employment and Labour.
Morning, Honorable.
Seemingly we have lost the chair. Please check your participant.
Okay, I'm going. It's in time for me. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll check with it. Thank you.
Sorry, Honourable Members, sorry for that. I'm back. Can I be heard?
Yes, we hear you, Chair.
Sorry for that. It's the connectivity problem. I'm not going to open my room. We will then, from the department who is in,
again, good morning, Chair. My name is Virgil Cecil, Deputy Director General in Labor Policy and Industrial Relations. I have with me in the same meeting, Chair, I have Mr. Temengosi Mkhalipi. I have the Zandi from the Deputy Minister's Office. I have Thando Wababa from our Parliamentary Officer. And I have Sabelo Mali from the Minister's Office in the meeting, Chair. These are the colleagues that are here, both from the Department of Employment and Labour.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Sitfield. I want to say to people before we start is that today we have come to the day that is our remember that we extended our closing date for submissions, and what then is going to happen today. We are then going to be given a summarized version of all the submissions, both on COIDA and on employment equity. That is why then we do have a legal person welcome Isaac. If Mr. Jengane, who is not in, I will request the comment section to check on him, because I would have loved that he is also here, so that both of them are here as we start. I think it's important, honorable members, to give you that on the closing date of last week, how many COIDA submissions were received. It was 86 from COIDA, and then they improved, although not very much, but at least they were above 20 on employment equity, which were 23. Now, here is going to be a process for today.
Mm-hmm.
We are, I hope honorable members do have their, which is something that is to happen, your pen and pencil and a book, because what is going to happen, we are going to be taken through, and I've requested the content advisor not to be too slow but not to be too fast, indicate to you where they were, which section in the bill has gone, we are the amendment, so that at your own spare time or at the time that as a political party you are looking on this, you are then able to know that section this, paragraph A, B, it was this in the primary bill, now this is the amendment, the submission, so that we, because we're not going to be asking questions now. There are no questions of clarity, because we are not, the content advisor didn't, and those people are not here. It's only, and I want to stress this, it's only when we are in the process of public hearings where then we will ask questions. We will ask questions to those that wanted to come and do oral submissions. I want members to be clear about that. So, just a reminder, I hope you still have your copies of both bills, so that when you hear what then, where people are making, are proposing submissions, what they are saying, you are then able to refer. I have also requested them that they must do a file, which is what they were supposed to do. I hope the department has did what I requested it to do to Mr. Mkalipi. Unfortunately, we're not going to have a physical file, I'm told, a huge file. We are going to have an electronic file. This thing's called ZIP. So I hope we have all received these documents. We have all received what you must receive, what people have said. We must receive a summarized version, because that is just a summarized version to assist us. But I'm of the understanding that we also received hard copies of the bill. If comrades by any chance have lost in their gadgets the bill, those two bills, they must indicate, so that I request a committee session to resend it to you. If you are able to print it and have a hard copy, if you are able to do that on your own board, Parliament, unfortunately, yes, now, that's why we don't have a hard copies of this presentation, because Parliament now is now has introduced a paper-free situation. So pandemic has made us to be on a fourth industrial revolution by force. I am outlining the process so that honorable members understand that today we are just listening, we are jotting down, and also the department is here, also legal is here. At a particular time, legal is going to come, the department is going to be present in all our meetings now moving forward. So I just want members to have that understanding. It's a very important meeting, let alone that we are not going to be asking questions, but it's a very important meeting which needs our attention. So I will
the process is going to be like this. So the content advisor is going to take us through COIDA, just the summarized version, because they are the people that have received this submission, and they are the people that have looked onto this. They are going to do that. After that, we will ask Mr. Mkwena, unfortunately, you're the researcher, because we couldn't then say Ngobo must do the whole 100 and something, so they have divided the work. Employment and Equity is the researcher, Mr. Mkwena, and COIDA is Mr. Ngobo. So that is the process, honorable members. I will then hand over to Mr. Ngobo to take us through. That is in welcoming everybody. And one thing that we forgot to say, Mr. Honorable Nontale is going to join us 30 minutes late. You see that there is Tandiwe Zungu. That is Honorable Zuma. Unfortunately, she did apologize. She's using that gadget because she has got a serious problem with her gadget, which is being attended to by IT. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Ngobo. I hope you are in.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, colleagues, and officials of the department. I'm going to take you through the submissions that we received, the written submissions regarding COIDA, Compensation for Occupational Injuries of the British Amendment Bill. The bill was introduced to the National Assembly on the 27th of August 2020 as a proposed Section 75 bill, which is an ordinary bill not affecting the provinces. So there is a process that the 79 bill that it has to follow, as opposed to the bill that is affected by the provinces. So the bill has then referred to the Portfolio Committee on Employment and Labour on the 10th of September 2020. So we have received the submissions as the chairperson has already indicated that we received 86 submissions, COIDA submissions. Of those submissions, okay, talking about the bill first before getting to the submissions, the memorandum on the objects of the bill states the purpose of the bill is seeking to firstly extend the coverage for occupational injuries and diseases to previously excluded vulnerable workers, as well as the improvement of compensation benefits to employees. Secondly, it is to link to the Chapter 10 and 11 of the National Development Plan to the basis. Thirdly, to align the Act with the requirements of other legislation and to remove ambiguities on some of the provisions of the Act. Fourthly, it is to empower NEDLAC to nominate persons from whom members of the board may be appointed by the minister to represent the interests of organized business, organized labor, and the state. Fifthly, it is to provide for the term of office of a board member to be limited to 2 terms. And then, sixth is to provide for the disqualification from membership of board members, resignation and removal from office. And lastly, it is to introduce a rehabilitation, reintegration, and return to work in order to address the tendency of some employers to dismiss employees on the basis of occupational injuries or diseases. So the submissions that we received most of the submissions were on clause 43. And this, those submissions mostly were from service providers that are using that package or pre-funders. And there are two major pre-funders that is service providers are using. There is code link, and then there is two. The submissions, about 32 submissions were from...
Sorry, Chen. Hello, Chen.
I'm here.
Yes, Chair, I did not hear the presenter is saying it is quite linked. I did not hear the other party. The sound is not good on my side.
Okay. There is quite linked, and then the other pre-funder is Comsol, like in Comsolution. So it's Com, like C-O-M-P-S-O-L. So 32 submissions came from quite late, which constitutes about 87% of all submissions, and then 14% submissions came from users of Comsol, which constitutes 16% of the overall submissions. So, all in all, the submissions from users of pre-funders were 46, which constitutes about more than 50%, or to be exact, 53% of all written submissions. So, plus 43, that most of the submissions are objecting to. Is subsection 4. Clause 43 seeks to amend section 73 of the Principal Act. So subsection 4 of clause 43 states that any provision of any agreement existing at the commencement of this Act or concluded thereafter, in terms of which a service provider cedes or purports to cede or relinquishes or purports to relinquish any rights to medical claim in terms of this act shall be void. That is clause 43, section 4. So the objection from most of the users of pre-funders is that they say if this amendment is implemented, firstly, it would be near impossible for their practices to continue treating injury on duty patients. Secondly, they say that the impact of the current state of the economy, unemployment, and devastated impact on the COVID-19 lockdown will become overwhelming. And then they also say that they would consider not to treat injury on duty patients, and then also that their practices will be forced to close. They are also raising a constitutional issue with regard to this clause. The section in the Constitution that talks about the right to choose a profession. So, according to them, that section of the Constitution will be violated by the passing of this amendment of the chair. Now this is the major objection from all the non-committed and all the petition submissions that we have received. But then there are also some welcome amendments, or let me say most of the amendments are welcome by the people who or organizations who make the written submission. For example, section 1, the definition of an employee. The definition of an employee has been amended to include domestic workers. Most of the written submissions that we received welcome this this amendment. But the concern that they are raising is that the department needs to embark on an advocacy campaign or awareness campaign because there is a view that most of the domestic workers might not be aware of the current development and therefore might not be aware of the rights that they are having or they are going to have in accordance with this law. I just thought of something. Let me back one step back and go back to clause 43, subsection 4. Another issue that the organizations and individuals who made submissions regarding this clause raised was that the application of this clause will be retrospective. So they are saying that they are already owing these refunders a lot of money that they will have to refund if this clause is passed or if it goes through. Then they will have to refund these refunders. Sorry for that. Then, yeah, those I can say were the major points that were made. So I don't think I have to go like class by class to say what each organization has stated in this place. But I will be guided by the chapter 3.
No, I think you have outlined where changes are and where proposals are in terms of who is how many of those are saying no, how many are saying yes, and whatever. Because that is exactly why we have been circulated those submissions, for us to be able to check and see who has guided by what you have presented. The only thing that you haven't done is to tell us how many in Corridor had requested to come and do oral submissions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sir President. Apologies for that. We had 17 organizations and individuals that made the oral submissions who requested, that have made written submissions who have requested to for indicated their availability for oral submissions. So it's 17 of them out of the 86 who made the written submissions, which comes up to 9% of those who made the written submissions available for making oral presentations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mobo. Mr. Mkwena, are you ready? Mr. Mkwena.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm ready, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, may I request not to open my camera? I think my network is a bit bad this side.
Yeah, I think all of us are going to encounter that problem in case that it's fine.
Mm. Yeah, yes, sir. Thank you, Chair.
On condition, you are not in, you are not sleeping.
No, Chair, I'm not sleeping, Chair.
That was only like a note.
On employment equity submissions, we received 23 submissions, as the Chair has already highlighted. Of the 23 submissions, 15 requested that they do oral presentations, and mostly those were organizations. Individuals specifically returned on their submissions that they would not like to do oral representations. They feel that what they submitted is, would be sufficient for the committee to inform, to get information on the field. On the 23 submissions that were received, all submissions supported measures aimed at addressing addressing inequalities in society and in the workplace. However, they wanted that to be done in such a way that it does not undermine, it doesn't undermine the economy and must be constitutional. Now, when I look at the percentage, 56.5% of the submissions were not in support of the amendment, and only 43.5% supported the amendment in the information. So people that were not in support of the submission highlighted that this bill is published in a challenging microeconomic environment. As a result of its timing, it may have unintended consequences on business. And the proposed amendments have been considered while South Africa is in the midst of global pandemic. Given that this pandemic has a negative effect on the lives and on the lives and the livelihood of both employees and employers. As a result, it puts strain on employers, with employers struggling to keep companies afloat and save jobs. Many employers face increased uncertainty and financial pressures, which may last beyond the pandemic. Thus, the proposed implementation in the changes of the bill would not be feasible in the next 3 years, since it will result in a loss of production capacity and revenue loss and jobs. Now, when you look at those people that were against the bill, mostly are actually against Section 15. Section 15 is the one that supports the minister and authority to identify the national economic sectors, the subsectors targets, to ensure equitable representation for suitable qualified people from designated groups and all of the levels in the world. Now, people that argued in this particular act, they say the advanced arguments that democratic representation differ from region to region, thus numerical targets could not be impossible, would be impossible to achieve, and ensuring the equitable representation of suitable qualified people from designated groups and all occupational levels in the workplace will not be achievable. They also highlighted that there would be a need for a joint consensus-seeking approach in order for the targets to be achievable. And they also found that the safety days would not be sufficient for significant engagement in that particular process in the agenda's cause. So they argue that it is essential that all sectors and industries are equitably consulted, and that sector targets will be set and with their respective industry bodies who can share meaningful information regarding the composition of the industry, the economic challenges that affect the industry, the state of transformation in the challenge, the state of transformation in that particular sector and challenges of transformation in that particular sector. Because they argue that each industry level of competitiveness is different from one company to the other, and the minister may not have an understanding of each industry. And the others argue that in terms of amendment in Section 1, where they define the designated employer has been revised to limit the application of the Act to companies with more than with more than 50 employees. Now, people that argue, most of people that submitted actually are in agreement in this, that when you include the smaller companies, as much as this will give them flexibility and reduce admin, it may make companies not want to actually hire more individuals in order to avoid this some administrative burden, and that will still attain the effort in terms of job creation. So now, they are in support that this must be amendment to say it must include all small businesses, even the ones with less than 50 employees. And they also argue in terms of that section 52 and section 53 and section 20. In that, the first one that deals with the issuing of compliance, other submissions supported the amendment indicated the concerns around the process of issuing compliance certificates and the turnaround time. They found that the submission, they found that the process will be demanding on the minister or whoever the minister will allocate and the blockages and the possible blockages that will come with that particular process. And now the bill does not articulate what would be the turnaround time of issuing the certificate. They want it to be more clear in terms of that process in the bill. And they highlighted that this now becomes another barrier on top of the BEE policy that is already in place. And that means almost all of other policies now have to be aligned in order for businesses, and especially the one in ICT, construction, and the one in renewable energy. They did argue that this would provide a statistical process. And lastly, all submissions supported the need to fast-track transformation across sectors. However, they reiterated that it must be done in a just and constitutional and in a way that it does not undermine the economy. So just to recap, the key sections that this 23 submissions are talking about are Section 1, Section 15, Section 53, Section 42, and Section 20. Those are the key ones that the most submissions were discussions were around.
Thank you, Chair. I hope I've covered all.
No, thank you, Mr. Ngobo and Mr. Mkwene. Honourable members, then that is what then we are presented. What is going to happen now is that we are then going to, on our own time, leisure, whatever, both as individual members or guided by our political organizations, we are going to look to all what has been said and just as what then is then being proposed by the department through this amendment. Then we are going between now and the time that we must also then, what we have to look is talking with Parliament, how then are we going to accommodate these that want to come for oral submissions. We are going to listen to them, look into all, we are going to listen to them, ask them questions, the clarities. The department will also be with us, and the department will be with us. Procedurally, they are supposed to do that. Let me just make an example of what may happen is that Dundra may have submitted a submission at the time that cabinet, through the minister, was dealing with that, made a submission. and then come to the portfolio exhibitors, because I need to do that. Could you come again to the committee, make a argument, make a different oral submission, and at an appropriate time in the committee, the department will also be accorded an opportunity to raise issues either of concern and whatever, guided by their legal, who are also going to be guided by our legal people. Then after we have received everything, oral submissions, we have listened to them, then we are going to sit as the committee. I'm saying we are going to have a meeting or meetings that are then going to be on what then we are, what's our view, what do we want, what is it that, I'm making an example, PSF is proposing, what is it that ANC is proposing, EFF and IFP are agreeing on that, which is what is called deliberations. We are then preparing to submit. So when we ask questions, I will again explain to members at that appropriate time. When we then ask questions to people who are coming, we are only asking questions of clarity. We are not deliberating. Deliberations will then be, we will then be deliberating as a committee. Sit there, the legal will be there, and the department will be there. Sit, we deliberate. We agree where we don't agree. We agree where we agree. We agree that we don't agree. We dismiss some of the things. Then we are going to prepare a report. Because this is Section 75, we are not going to be going to profit. And then when we are done with our deliberations, we have a report is submitted. We agreed on the report. And if then the report is agreed or not agreed, the report is obviously, there will be those parties that will say we don't agree with the report. Then the report will be tabled for ATC. I am outlining briefly this process for members to understand that now we are then starting the work of the bill. And in that, in particular during deliberations, but it is advisable for members to be part of this process so that at that time of deliberations, you don't take us back, because a member will feel uncomfortable when the chair is saying, but that was discussed and you were not here. So please, honorable member, please, now is the time that we are then going to engage in both of this bill. And it's not about us, it's not about what I want, it's not about anything else, but it's about ensuring that we do have a legislation that is going to, well, change the social conditions of our people. So it's not just a pure administrative process of a bill. It is a process that is administrative, which is political, and which is ideological. That is the type of our way. Wouldn't be politicians if we think that we must just pretend. What is important, in my view, as the chair of this portfolio committee, is that in whatever differences that we are having, which in politics, yes, is that how then do we manage that? We're not enemies here, but we have got different views, which at the end, we must have a view guided by all our views, again, to have a legislation that is going to ensure that it changes the social conditions of our people. We have got that system to believe. So I want to, it's not a presentation question for now. The only thing that members have either lost their primary bill, they must build if both of them are lost, because we have long been given, because last year they must indicate to the committee section, it will be emailed to you, you will find a way of having a hard copy. Two, if you have got a problem in opening whatever, feel free to communicate. We've got what is called a committee portfolio committee secretary and committee assistant on condition members that we are not going to make their lives difficult. I know how at times as honorable members would behave to the staff. I know. And I'm humbly requesting. If you are not finding joy from them, feel free to check with me. But please communicate with them. If you want assistance, they will do that. As long as you are not going to ask them questions on issues that they are not going to be able to respond to, because they are not people who submitted. It's people who submitted, those that want oral submissions, to come and do oral submissions, that you are going to interact with. I hope I have outlined the process. If there are any questions on the process that I have outlined, I am free to respond to that.
Chair Michael Cotto.
Michael Cotto.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to get an indication from you when you thought we would begin processing these bills. I see that Parliament is due to rise at the end of next week for a fairly lengthy constituency period. I just wanted to know whether you have an idea in your mind about when these bills will be processed and eventually debated in the National Assembly. Thanks.
I don't have that in mind. That's why I said that I would have to consult with the powers to be. That now we are in this, at this point, we have got a lengthy constituency. But remember that the office of the speaker, and in fact, our own political parties don't want us to do other work during constituency work. Even ourselves says, but I mean the constituency, etc. So I will have to sit down and say, we are at this stage now, we are on the constituency, can you advise? So it's quite a tricky, I won't be able to say when do I think, because I will also be guided. I'm also going to be guided by what the chief would say, talking with the house chair. So that's why I said I'll have to now consult and then be advised. So we are, and I understand we may have a little bit of a panic. But it is the year that we are also to prepare for local government elections. But for this process to be smooth and be able to, working under various challenging and pressure, is that we become available for meetings irrespective if we are given a mission, so that we are able to finish or to table our report on time before the hype of the local government elections.
Thank you.
But for now, I don't have anything until I contact. All right, then. Chair. I'm going to... I'm sorry, Chair. My hand, I raised my hand, but unfortunately, I can't see it on the screen. Chair, according to the question, there are people who have made a submission and requested to make an oral submission. Can we get a list of those? The 17 from the COIDA and the 13 from Equity Bill. The names of those parties or individuals.
Well, I think if they do have the names now, we'll request them to submit those to members. I think that is allowed. Sue Ann, I think that is allowed. It's allowed, wasn't
it? Can you repeat your question?
The question is, the member wants a list of those people that have requested to come for oral submission. Now she wants to come again.
Yes, there wouldn't be any reason not to give it to her. It is what they have requested, so it will be public information.
Yes. So if thank you for that. If then the committee section is ready with those names, it's fine. If they are not ready with those names, by the end of tomorrow, circulate those names to members. Mr. Chakaza, do you hear me?
Yes, sir, we will do that, sir.
I need not follow you up. I'm just giving you a deadline. It can be today. If you are able to circulate those to them, it's fine.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you, Chair.
I think we've come to the end of our meeting, and now the legislators is the beginning of our task, one of our tasks. And thank you very much, members. Our meeting is adjourned until we meet again next week. We're going to meet next week again just to tidy up some of the things, report, blah, 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 but we're meeting again next week before Parliament rises. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It'll be wonderful to meet you next week.